Elizabeth Barrett is a wife, mother, grandmother, licensed marriage and family therapist, educator, eavesdropper, and emotion worker. She uses all of these skills to address the subjects that we all struggle with in this conversation with the reluctant therapist. Good afternoon, Elizabeth.
Good afternoon, Brian. You know, Hank usually says, Happy Tuesday.
He does?
That's our thing.
Uh-huh. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday, Brian. I am happy to be here today. We have a room full of guests, which is always energizing and exciting, a kind of a different vibe. Mm-hmm. And they're in here with me, not in there with you, which also makes it fun.
Yeah. I'm still lonely over here.
Oh, yeah, it's all right. we'll have you join in. But the reason I have guests in the studio today is because we're coming to the culmination of an experience or I don't know what to call it, a passion. A passionate journey, how about that,
okay.
That I started off on over a year and a half ago to promote service years as a cultural expectation for young people 18 to 28. And you might have remembered because we talked about this. You know, I've talked about it a couple times over the last year and a half. Mm-hmm. But a year and a half or so ago, this is something that I've always promoted for my students at Cal Poly, this idea that instead of jumping from college into the workforce or college into more college into graduate school, why not take a year to give back to your country, which is a noble thing, which was, you know, something that would help build their character and their citizenship and their understanding of their responsibilities as a citizen, but also to take that year to take a breath. Mm-hmm. Right, to take a breath and kind of get a sense of who they are outside of their role as a student, outside of their role as a child and a family, right, outside of all of the things that have been expected of them up until that point where they graduate from college, to take a year to challenge themselves, to get a little uncomfortable, mm-hmm. To learn new skills, and to make their country a better place. And so it's something I've always pushed to my students. But I ended up, you know, through this, how life, you talk about something you care about, and then all of a sudden doors open up. And if you go through them, you find yourself where you need to be. So through a series of interesting and random meetings, I found myself a part of this program called the Franklin Project, which is doing that work as a nonprofit, trying to promote national service as a cultural expectation for young people 18 to 28. And I applied for an ambassadorship position. And last June, I flew out and I spent a week in Washington, D.C., meeting with 45 other ambassadors, being trained in how to go back and promote the idea of service in our communities. And the idea was that all of us, the ambassadors, would go back into their, you know, their home states and start building the momentum with the idea that in the next 10 years, we'd have over 1 million service year positions available for young people throughout the country. And so I've spent this year trying to kind of cultivate that idea. There's been lots of changes in the movement towards service years. As a matter of fact, the Franklin Project, which I started, has now joined into an alliance with two other big nonprofits to create the Service Year Alliance, which is really growing and developing service year programs all over the country. And so I feel like I've been a part of something that's moving really quickly, and yet it didn't move really quickly in our community or even at Cal Poly, which is where I really had the focus of wanting to build awareness on campus, to spread this idea to more than just my students, because there's a lot of push about careers on campus, right? A lot of information. There's career fairs multiple times throughout the year. There's people recruiting from businesses, a lot of push for the students to go into graduate school. But I'd never seen anything that said, how about a service year? So I had this fantasy about a service fair. So long story short, I had brought up in my classes a few times, and one of my students who is a guest here today, Elizabeth Silva, we'll call her Liz so we can delineate between the two of us, came up to me after class and said, Professor Barrett, if you really want to do the service year thing, I'm really into it, and I would like to help you with the service fair, and maybe it'll be my senior project. And I had just kind of decided I was going to let it go and it wasn't going to happen. And then Liz brought this great energy back, and I said, all right, let's make this happen. And we've got 3 months to make it happen, something that we should have, you know, had a year to do. Mm-hmm. So That got the ball rolling. And then another one of my students, a former student, James Sofranco, who graduated and is now currently doing his AmeriCorps service. He actually is doing a service year. I don't know if being in my class had anything to do with that, but he has taken this year to give back to his community here in San Luis Obispo. He said, hey, if you still want to do that service year fair, I'll be a part of it also. So also we had two people. And then the third guest here today, Miranda Cortez, was also in a class of mine. And at the end of the quarter, we do a project where the students research different graduate school programs and different alternative programs instead of graduate school, one being service years. And so Miranda got a little fired up and she said, you know, I'd like to be part of that service fair. So this idea that was starting to die grew into, we have a core group, I think, of seven students who have worked incredibly hard for the last 3 months. And this Thursday, May the 19th, is the first, hopefully it'll become an annual event, the first Cal Poly Service Fair. It's going to be from 11 to 1 on Dexter Lawn for anyone who wants to come up to campus and talk to us. There's going to be information about a lot of the different service organizations like Peace Corps and AmeriCorps and City Year. There's going to be treats. And then Thursday evening, we are having a forum, a panel discussion with myself. James is going to speak on the panel. We have a representative from Teach for America. And then we have a representative from the Service Year Alliance flying out from Washington, D.C. to also talk about the Service Year Initiative. And so that's going to be on Thursday evening, and that's open to the public. We have two sessions scheduled, one from 6:30 to 7:30 and one from 8 to 9. It's in building 192, room 106. So we'd love to have a lot of people come and find out about this idea of a service year and what it's all about. So today we're going to talk about what this service year idea is, what the initiative is all about, why it's important. My students are going to talk about why they decided to get involved. And we're also going to open it up to you to call in and talk about your ideas about a service year. What do you think of this idea that we have a cultural expectation that all young people, 18 to 28, spend a year giving back to their community, to their country, before setting off into their adult lives? There's some colleges right now that are actually looking at the idea of having a 3 year of college and 1 year of service towards a degree. So there is change a-brewing all around the country, and we'd love to hear your thoughts about that. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. You can be part of our conversation by calling 805-781-3875. You can also join us on our Facebook page, The Reluctant Therapist. Send me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com if you're a little shy about going on the air or have a lot you want to say. And you can find previous shows at kcbx.org or podcast our shows and get them on your device each week through iTunes. So here we are. I've got three guests in the studio who have devoted the last three, maybe 4 months. I mean, it's gone quickly.
Since February.
To the idea of this service here. So let's start with Liz Silva, who kind of grabbed the ball and started running with it. Why did you decide this was something you wanted to devote your senior project to and get involved with anyway?
I guess to answer that question, it would lead me back to when you talked about service and a few of your psych classes. Just thinking back to it, I realized that my experience with service when I was still in high school had such a profound impact on my life at the time that I didn't even notice until probably this year. And just continuing on that, I had this service trip that when I was 16, I went to Mexico and I spent a week building houses and doing community outreach. And I thought it was going to be a fun trip, but what ended up happening was it was definitely fun, but more importantly, it was humbling and inspiring to see and understand problems firsthand. That really motivated me and made me want to just inform other people on why service is important and how it could have an impact on their lives too.
So you started with a volunteer trip. And what we probably should let people know is that there's a difference between the straight volunteer trips and a service year, that the volunteering experience can kind of pique your interest in what it is to really give back and to serve. But the difference, the primary difference between a volunteer trip and a service year is that a service year is a fully paid, not at a great amount, and I'm sure James will be able to speak more about that, but it's a stipend full-time position that you do working for a nonprofit to make a difference in a community, that you get training for this job, that you learn new skills, that you actually hold a position or do something that is significant for an entire year, and you are paid for your time. So that's a little different. So I love that the service volunteer trip kind of piqued your interest. But what about this idea of now that I'm getting ready to graduate, I'm going to go spend a year in another direction? And talk a little bit, Liz, about what your major is and what you intended to do with it originally.
Yeah. Okay. So my major is environmental science. I'm a third year at Cal Poly. And going into college, I think originally I wanted to have the goal of alleviating poverty. That was like my number one goal, and I wanted to find ways to sustainably develop in other countries and help that way. And I think coming to college, meeting so many different individuals, I realized that there's a lot of poverty in America that I didn't realize before. And I just, upon going to a career fair in fall, I learned about Teach for America, which has the goal of ending educational inequality in America, which is this education gap between, you know, low-income and middle-income or higher-income students in America, that they don't have opportunities to college and such as that.
That's
to answer your question.
No, you're doing great.
Yeah, I think just going into that, I do look forward, because I did apply to Teach for America, and I did get the position in the Bay Area to start next year in 2017. And I think a service year is just a great opportunity for anybody to take to learn about a different community in America here. And I feel like a lot of people, especially millennials, grow up kind of fantasizing this idea like, oh, I'm going to go out and help the world, and I'm going to go abroad and help. But there's so much that we can do in America that it's really eye-opening to realize.
And how about for you, James? I mean, you graduated from Cal Poly and now have been doing a service year. What led you to wanting to give this year of yourself to the community? And what was your intention when you went to Cal Poly?
Oh,
and
wow.
I got three parts for you. And why did you get involved with this crazy team of students to put on the service fair for your fellow?
Yeah, students? Yeah. So first of all, thanks for having me back. I'm glad that you're okay with having me back after last time.
You did a great job. James has been a former guest, and he's working his way through the radio world.
Yeah, so let's see here. To start with talking about how...
Why did you choose to do a service year post-graduation? Because I think I said this last time, and it always embarrasses you, but you were the outstanding senior of the year for your department. So you have all these opportunities, right, to go out in the world or go to grad school. And then you said, no, I'm going to pull back and do a service year. Why?
Yeah, I think there's so many different facets to kind of what led me to choosing to do a service year. But I think the real element of it was when I first came to Cal Poly, I started as a business major, actually. And I was not really directed in any particular area of this is where I want to go with it. When I applied to different colleges, I applied different majors at every school. And when I finally got to Cal Poly got to Cal Poly through process of elimination of sorts, and I started out my business program. I met some wonderful people, but really wasn't really going in any direction at the time. And I ended up taking a women's and gender studies class as a elective, and ended up falling in love with the issues of social justice and really feeling a huge passion to make an impact in that way, to really fight for the marginalized in the community, and just to really dedicate a life to making that difference that that Liz was mentioning, the fact that millennials do really feel a need and a want to change the world for the better. And I really connected in with that in that class. And then I ended up switching into psychology, and just kind of as things were going along, you know, again, keeping that focus and that eye on social justice issues to the point where when I got to graduation, I was like, well, I don't really want to just go into a job. I don't want to just find something that's going to keep me, you know, busy from 9 to 5 and go home and feel like, well, I helped make this machine run today, this economic engine that, you know, is making, you know, billions of dollars off of the backs of people. And I just, this didn't really resonate with me at all. And of course, I'm painting it in the most negative light possible. but at the same time, I really felt like there's opportunities to do real amazing service in the community. And that's when I found out that I could stay here in San Luis Obispo and do that at an agency that I was already volunteering with at RISE. That's how I was able to get connected and plugged in and applied. And I'm glad that it worked out.
Absolutely. And to be able to stay and give back to this community is a big thing, because as Liz was mentioning, I think when we talk about service years or service or giving back, people do assume it's abroad to the needier areas, or it's going to be in, you know, impoverished areas in the United States. But, you know, San Luis Obispo is a very affluent area, but there are still areas of great need in every neighborhood that get overlooked. And to be able to recognize that, we start to see the colors of our communities and not just the eye on the prize that we teach you as students, right? It's always about success and going forward, but to take a step back and look around to all the colors of the world and all the different shapes and lives that are here, it is huge. If you're just tuning in, this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. I have three guests in the studio today, Liz Silva, James Sofranco, and Miranda Cortez. They are part of the Service Fair team for our first Cal Poly Service Fair and Forum happening this Thursday, May the 19th. And we're talking about what drew them to wanting to be involved in the Service Fair, and what about service is important to them. And we'll talk a little bit more about what a service year or gap year looks like for everyone's young person, whether they're coming out of high school or graduating from college. The opportunity to change the course of your life can happen instantly. And we'd love to have you be part of the conversation, 805-781-3875. I'd love to know what your thoughts are on a service year. Do you think it should be a cultural expectation or rite of passage for all of our young people, 18 to 28? And Rose, thanks for waiting. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi. So I was listening, and I'm wondering if you or the students could speak to how you feel about the political state of our nation and the prices of college tuition and how that connects to a service year. I know that that's something that I was interested in when I was going to college, and I'm wondering now with what may happen in our political race that, I don't know, I guess I'm just curious what your political affiliations are, if you have fears for the future as far as a service year, or maybe if college were paid for by our government, it would become a more natural leeway into millennials and younger people giving back.
Those are great questions, Rose. Thank you for calling, and we'll start addressing them. One of the things I do know about service years, and Liz, I think you found this out with Teach for America, is that there is a stipend for working for the year, but you also get a
AmeriCorps Award.
An AmeriCorps Award.
An education award. I think a Siegel Education.
Yeah, the Siegel Education Award, which is like a grant that you can use for educational expenses.
So, yeah, James, you're right in the middle of it. So when you finish your service year with AmeriCorps, you're gonna get $5,000?
It varies. It's basically the amount of the Pell Grant, whatever that is any given year. Mm-hmm. And it's about $5,700, I think, this year. And it's a fully taxed education award, which mm-hmm. means that I pay income tax on it whenever I use it to pay student loans. But at the same time, there's this great benefit to where I can use that for graduate school or any loans that I currently have at this time.
So Rose, there is a little financial incentive to help students with paying back their debt with their service year. And for each year you're at TFA, Teach for America.
Teach for America is, they actually pay you depending on the school district that you work in. So some teachers get up to $55,000 per year, which is the same amount that teachers are receiving in that district. So it's a pretty awesome program just because you're getting paid what you would as a full-time teacher anyhow.
And you also get the Siegel Award at the end, correct?
Mm-hmm. You actually get two with TFA since it is a two-year commitment instead of a one-year.
And so I guess, Miranda, because we haven't heard from you yet,
yeah.
Want to talk a little bit about why you got drawn into doing this. And then maybe with Rose's question, do you have fears for the future? How do you feel about the political world and the college opportunities? That's a lot of questions, but where do you want to go with that?
So as a student who's always worked throughout my time in college and at the end of my high school career also, it's always been a concern of mine to be able to pay for college, the money that I've put in. But learning that a service year is stipend has really encouraged me to pursue volunteering, because I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up a year of pay. I'm not giving up progress towards a graduate degree so I could earn money to pay off my undergrad. This is really a cool thing to be stipend, have a stipend pay, and also receive grant money to pay off student loans that you've accrued.
So you're feeling some positive benefits towards the service year, and
oh yeah,
a little more hopeful then about the opportunities for you post service year.
Yes, definitely.
I think we'll take a moment to take a call. Benjamin, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm good.
I answer Rose's question. I'm actually one of your candidates for Congress this year.
Oh, what's your last name, Benjamin?
I'm Benjamin Lucas.
Hi.
I'm a Democrat from Montecito.
Well, thanks for calling in. So what do you think about Rose's questions about the economy and college tuitions?
The way I want to do it is I really feel the big debt in college tuition comes in postgraduate. And I'm looking for a five-year service program where the government will pay your doctorals in social and physical sciences. And then we do your service in inner cities and rural communities to give back to the community, which promotes anybody getting a doctorate's degree in health.
So what do you think, guys?
Go ahead.
That sounds awesome.
I'd be into that.
Doesn't that sound nice?
But now Benjamin's saying 5 years then, postgraduate degree.
And it would be paid service at a fixed rate, a stipend, but a fixed income of living. But you would be serving your time in the inner cities, because one of the things Obamacare, doesn't take care of is the high deductibles, inner city hospitals, Cottage here in Santa Barbara, Samsung. They don't accept Obamacare. So it falls through the gaps. And if you look at West Virginia and Arkansas and some of the southern states, they don't even have hospitals within 100 miles. So I feel that, even if you have insurance mandatory, it doesn't reach the people you're trying to get to. They're going out in RVs trying to reach them.
Well, and I think you bring up a good point. Again, when we talk about, the human capital of unleashing all of these college graduates, and not just college graduates, but anyone 18 to 28 into the community to make change. I mean, think of all the things we can get done. And if you add to that all of the students graduating with their postdoc or maybe from med school, kind of remember the movie Doc Hollywood? You might all be too young, but I think Brian probably remembers that, where Michael J. Fox goes back and works in a small community to give back. That this idea that we do our service to help the great need and then go on to pursue our careers. Anything else, Benjamin?
To tie it to some sort of college, benefit, it works. It works. I think 18 might be a little young to try to teach our society today. I mean, I think you're asking a lot at that point. It sort of, to me, sounds like a draft. They don't understand enough at 18, I feel. Not undermining the 18-year-olds today. I know how sophisticated we are. But you know what I'm saying, maturity-wise. That's why these young kids that are doing this are finding it at the end of their college career they might want to do this, because they actually start interfacing socially.
Right, and I agree, Miranda.
And I think that's why it's important to make a push to people who are 18, because when I applied to college, just like James, I had no idea what I wanted to do. And coming to college, I kind of felt that I had a late start in knowing about these alternatives to graduate school and a doctorate program. So I think even if we just introduced it to adults who are just coming into the world, the real world, that could even just inspire them in their pursuit in an undergrad.
Benjamin,
I absolutely agree. That's a very valid point. That's an excellent observation.
Well, thank you for taking the time to call in, and good luck with your run. And so, James, when we talk about the idea of your service year with AmeriCorps, who you started with, if you had not found a position here locally, what would you have done? Would you have gone to another community? Was it just because it was easy here to get involved with AmeriCorps that you decided to do a service year, or did you really feel pushed to go out into the site?
Yeah, well, I think the convenience factor of getting to stay in the same city that I've been living in for the last, at the time, 4 years, definitely played a role in it. But I was also looking into other places as well. And I think for me, it was definitely just about trying to find that stepping stone before I moved into whatever the next thing was, and not even knowing what that next thing was. So at the time, finding a way to where, hey, I can get involved in nonprofit work, which is, I would say, something is of a career goal of mine. So I could get that experience, but to do it locally here in San Luis Obispo was kind of like a, just, you know, kind of a cherry on top after getting to live here and be in this really awesome community.
And so, Miranda, we didn't get a chance to hear from you. Why do the service fair on campus? Because as all of us will probably agree, it's a lot of work trying to get some sort of event put together.
Yeah, definitely. We have put a lot of work into getting this.
And so why did you feel passionate about having this event happen and become part of Cal Poly's culture?
Well, I've always been on a straight and narrow path, you know, high school, go to a four-year university, get a graduate degree and a doctorate. And after taking your class, I really was, my eyes were open to this idea of taking some time for personal growth. I've, in my search for graduate schools, I found too that they're not so much focused on your academic experience or your job experience, but your human experience. And so that's what really drew me to take this kind of year, not a gap year, but a service year to grow my my abilities to interact with people, to get some experience in the helping professions and go out and do some service.
But why put the event on? Why bring it to campus? Why did you think that that was important? And I open that to anyone.
Sorry. I think, so that brings me, or that reminds me to a time last quarter that when I was doing as a pledge educator of an organization on campus that I'm a part of, I had 11 students who are underclassmen, and I presented to them the idea of service and like why it's important and why they should consider it just in their daily lives over summer, you know, anything. But when I first started the conversation with them, I asked them what they wanted to do with their lives. And that question brought like 10 or 9 out of 10 of them to say something that involves helping other people. And it made me realize that so many people want it. They just don't have an avenue to have the chance or opportunity to serve. So I think the importance of bringing this fair on campus gives a lot of people just, hey, wow, this is a great opportunity. And there's so many different organizations that have a lot of benefits to serving as well, such as Teach for America. I'm just going to bring it back to that. They offer you the chance to also get your credential and your master's degree while you're serving, which for people who want to get that anyways, you can get experience at the same time while pursuing it. And there's just so many other organizations that I'm sure offer many similar opportunities.
This is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. My guests today are James Sofranco, Liz Silva, and Miranda Cortez, part of our 7-member core groups. We're going to mention Kala and Erica and Sean, who couldn't be here today, and Jaya, who've all worked really hard to put this together. This service fair is going to be this Thursday, May the 19th, from 11 to 1 on Dexter Lawn. And it is open to the public if you want to come up to campus and check out the event. We have students that are going to be representing different organizations like the Peace Corps, Green Corps, City Year. Help me out here, gang.
AmeriCorps.
Yes, James will be there. And so you can come in and ask questions and find out about these different organizations and also about the idea of the Service Year Alliance that has put together a website, serviceyear.org, that lists over 1,900 different places that you can serve around the United States. And we have a big map that we're putting together that's going to list about a bunch of different opportunities for service. And then, of course, there's the forum on Thursday evening in Building 192, Room 106. That's also open to the public. There's 2 sessions that you can come to, one from 6:30 to 7:30 and one from 8 to 9. We'll also have information tables there as well. And pizza, right?
And tri-tip.
And some, yeah, for the first 20 people, tri-tip sandwiches. The community's been very supportive. So we'd love to have people come out, especially parents that, you know, are concerned, like, what do I do with my children? You know, they're burnt out, or, you know, they feel this push to go to college. They feel, or maybe you have a son or daughter who isn't interested in going to college and is looking for something to do. We've heard a lot of talk about gap years of late. I know that the President Obama's daughter, Malia, has decided to take a gap year, but I haven't been able to find out whether or not that gap year is to do a service year or if she's just taking some time away. But there's more and more talk of this need to step away from kind of the conveyor belt of education into the workforce, mm-hmm. and needing to do something outside or bigger than ourselves.
Yeah, well, you know, you bring up the conveyor belt, and I think that's a huge reason why I think the service fair is really important at Cal Poly, because I don't think I'm alone in this, in that when I was in high school and kind of moving along, is that I just always assumed I knew I was going to college. I was supposed to go to college, which you're supposed to do. And then when I got into college, I was like, okay, now I'm supposed to do really well in college and get these good grades. And you just have all these assumptions about what you are supposed to do. And there's this sort of this conveyor belt that I think it probably looks a little different from college to college. And at Cal Poly, it's a very it feels like a well-oiled machine, where it's like we need to get students in, get their GE classes out of the way, and just move straight through to their major coursework and just move straight along so that they can graduate as fast as possible and get out into the real world and you know, make the big bucks. And there isn't a whole lot of space for that exploration of, you know, and the self-development that I think is quite as present at other universities, schools that have less of a focus on the polytechnic. And I think at Cal Poly, with that, because we are so great at those, at, you know, our engineering programs and our architecture and those sorts of things, that we focus a little less on the self-development and the humanitarian aspects that I think are really an important part of the education system. And this service fair, I hope, would encourage some people, some Cal Poly students, to take a moment and think, oh, okay, maybe I should question some of these assumptions I have about what is the right next step. And it's, you know, just going on and getting that good job that makes all the money, and thinking about what good impact am I leaving, both at this university, but also in the communities that I find myself in going forward.
So what do you think of this idea of a service year as a cultural expectation and rite of passage for young people 18 to 28? I'd love to hear your thoughts, because as a parent, I feel very passionately about my girls having this opportunity to explore themselves, but also to do their part. Right, do their part as citizens. You know, our public education system up until 10 or 15 years ago actually taught ethics and civics and the idea of the whole student learning about our responsibilities as citizens. And those things have all gone away in public education. So, you know, how do we instill those values into our young people? So I'd love to hear from you. Do you see this as a good idea, or is there some pushback? Are there some things about the service year that we're overlooking that maybe it's not for everyone? 805-781-3875 is the number to be part of this conversation with a reluctant therapist. You are listening to Public Radio KCBX, and I invite into the conversation Yasmeen Shaheen McConnell, who is part of the Service Year Alliance, and I guess you're my boss when it comes to being an ambassador out into the world. So Yasmeen is actually flying out from New York on Thursday to be part of our panel on Thursday evening, and we're really excited to have you here and your great positive energy. And I was hoping you could take some time to talk about why you got involved in the Service Year Alliance and what are the hopes and plans and some of the great things that are going on to make this happen around the country.
Sure. Well, first of all, happy Tuesday, and thanks so much to James for your service, and Liz for your upcoming service, and Miranda for all your help down in SLO. I'm really excited to be there. First, to your question, Elizabeth, about how I got involved, I myself am an AmeriCorps alum. I served in 2008 with a post-9/11 AmeriCorps program. It was called the Arab American Resource Corps. And it was largely made up of Arab Americans like myself, although not exclusively. And we served in communities that had large Arab American populations around the country, Houston, L.A., Detroit, Brooklyn, Philadelphia. And I served in Washington. And I had actually gone into the experience not knowing very much about it, but I did see it as an on-ramp to a career I was interested in, particularly in policy and in leadership development. And that was the reason I decided to do it. However, I was one of these people, and I'm going to welcome James to this club as soon as his AmeriCorps is over, of people who walked out of that experience sort of thinking, oh my gosh, I have a great idea. I really think everyone needs to do this. And because it made such a big difference on me and the friends and colleagues I met in the years afterwards, I really worked to figure out how it was I could get involved in this movement. The Franklin Project, which Elizabeth alluded to, was started actually after a comment that General Stanley McChrystal, a former four-star Army general, made on stage at the Aspen Ideas Festival in 2012. He was actually asked whether or not he believed in the draft, and he said, well, you know, I do, actually, but probably not in the way you'd assume I would. I actually think we should give every young person in this country an opportunity to serve, and we don't do that right now. We have a number of young people who raise their hands and say, this is my country, too, this is my community, too, and I want to have a chance to give back and do my part to make it better. And so that's sort of the genesis of the Franklin Project, which then became the Service Year Alliance, which, as Elizabeth was so great at explaining earlier, is a brand new organization that just launched at the beginning of the year that brings in the staff and experience and wisdom of three of the large organizations that work to make national service this cultural expectation and common opportunity in America. So we're really excited to be opening a new chapter in the movement, and we see the next 4 years as very impactful in laying the groundwork to ignite a lot of change in this country and to make it possible for more young people to serve than ever before.
So Yasmeen, if I hear you correctly, you're saying that you use the term opportunity, and that's something I've said before about the millennials, is that there's a lot of talk that millennials are lazy or entitled or they just want to make a lot of money. But my experience as a professor is that my students are excited to do something and be a part of something greater than themselves. And is that what you're feeling is driving this movement, that students or young people are asking for the opportunity? Or is there a need in the country for young people to step up and actually do their part?
Absolutely. So I say this as a millennial, so I can speak from my own cohort here. But young people are incredibly interested in giving back. And I know that one of you, I believe it was Liz, who had talked to her class that you were telling us about earlier, learned that 9 out of 10 of them really just want to help people in part of their careers. There's a somewhat outdated statistic, but one that's important, that identifies that 71% of millennials identify meaningful work as one of the top three important factors in making decisions about their careers and the rest of their life. And we know from a study from not very long ago that 80% of millennials are somewhat or very interested in a service year. So this isn't a new idea that's being pushed from the top. This isn't something that's just a lot of stern old folks swagging their fingers at us and saying, hey, you know, you got to do your part. This is something my generation intrinsically feels within us and is just looking for the opportunity to really be able to express it. The other reason, too, Elizabeth, that I use the word opportunity is because we have to make sure this isn't something that's just available to a small segment of American young people. And that's one of the reasons that I'm so proud to have Elizabeth and others on board who are talking about how critical it is to make sure that service years are paid opportunities, because if they aren't paid, then they aren't opportunities that are available to everyone. So that's another part of making sure this is a holistic experience for people both within the millennial generation, Gen Zers, and the generations to come.
So Yasmeen, there's a couple of people waiting to ask questions. If you've got a minute to hang around.
Sure, I'm happy to.
All right, our number is 805-781-3875. This is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. Kathy, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi, this is really refreshing and a wonderful opportunity that you're sharing. Not only your wonderful fair that's coming up, but also this idea of having a service year and having people think about the giving of service. I think it's interesting, following the previous Radio TED Talk Hour, where they're talking about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and at the top of that is self-actualization. Maslow believed that really the people who could do that were the wealthy. And, you know, there's stories about the Kennedys, for example, who felt that their duty in life was really to give back, but they were in a financial opportunity to be able to do that and not worry about paying off student loans or their mortgage or putting food on the table. So this idea of, you know, addressing the student debt is really important, and I think it's a great opportunity for people before they do get into the rest of their lives and they have children and that kind of thing to be of service. So I was a Peace Corps volunteer many years ago in the South Pacific, and it was an opportunity that I took very similar with the aspirations of the people that have been talking. And I have to say that there are times when I feel guilty because I got so much more out of the experience than I could have ever given. And so this is the kind of ironic and magic thing that happens when we give up ourselves. So in this really hyper-capitalistic era where it's all, you know, put something on the internet and overnight be a millionaire, it is just really refreshing to hear young people talking about being of service, and it's very hopeful. And my wish is that, you know, I can also have my children participate in that type of thing. So I just wanted to share my support and wish everyone on the call well and greatly support this. I think everyone should do it. I hope it becomes a norm.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you for your service also. Thank you for calling in. Yasmin, what do you think? The positive vibes.
Oh, it's so wonderful to hear your positive vibes, Kathy, and thank you for your service and the Peace Corps. One of the things that's so great when we're hearing and talking to people about making sure this is an opportunity for everyone is learning about the people who are in our country who are of generations that aren't millennials who have done their part too, and learning from you guys either in Peace Corps, AmeriCorps, in VISTA, in the military, and all different types of service to the community and country. So it's just really exciting to hear all the energy you have in the area, and I'm so excited to be there on Thursday to get some of it for real in my face.
And I really do hope we have some support from the community and people do who are just interested in learning about the service year or want to find out for their children or want to bring their children to hear about these opportunities, just start planting the seed. Because I feel as a parent, one of the real shifts that has to happen is in how we're parenting our children, is that parents are going to have to be the driver of this idea of the cultural expectation. Because as parents, we've pushed this idea of a college education and graduate school, and as parents, we're going to have to shift it a bit and tell our children, you know, and there's a service year involved in this. You're going to give back to your country, because once parents get on board and start pushing this idea, it's going to become a much more greatly accepted shift in our culture, I think. 805-781-3875. Paige, thanks for waiting. What's on your mind?
Oh, hi. Yes, I was going to say, I'm so happy to hear that this is happening, because I graduated from Cal Poly in 1992, and I did a my senior project was service learning and incorporated in a K-12 arena. So I got teachers in from all over and to talk about what service learning is. So I'm so happy to hear that this is happening again at Cal Poly. And I'm appreciative of all the hard work and effort that's going behind this. The other thing that I want to say is I have a son that's going to be a junior next year. And you guys, I'm so excited I want to take him on Thursday, because I think it's so imperative that the kids do get back to the community, and that it is part of their college career and their college journey, because I think that is more eye-opening for them to do like a service year. Or I know they always usually do like a junior year abroad, but I feel like you broaden their horizons more when you incorporate service learning into that environment. So I just wanted to give you words of encouragement and say thank you so much for bringing this to the forefront again. I think it's an imperative part of our community.
Thank you, Paige, and thank you for your work introducing the service learning in K-12, because we have to introduce the idea at some point to make it a thing. We're in college, and I do hope you and your son will come to the forum on Thursday night and have some pizza and hear from our speakers. So, Yasmin, final thoughts.
The only thing that something that Paige just brought up is when we talk, and you, Elizabeth, talked about this earlier, talk about integrating service years into the opportunities for college students and into higher education, we're actually seeing a number of innovative ways that can happen. So they're not just 1+3 programs or 3+1 programs. We actually here at the Service Year Alliance have run for a second year now a Higher Ed and Innovation Challenge for public universities, private universities, and community colleges that explore innovative ways that colleges can, in fact, integrate this into the experience. And we're looking at 3+1+3 programs, which is undergraduate, a service year, and then law school, for example, or a way for, in Philadelphia, students to be navigators in Philly for a year during their college experience that's integrated full-time. And so we're looking at a lot of different opportunities for higher ed to go ahead and step up and be leaders. And also, we hope that more higher ed institutions are also going to do things like match the Siegel Education Award that both James and Liz talked about earlier,
which is pegged to the Pell Grant. But there are many universities who have decided to step up and say, we'll match that, or even greater if you decide to come to our university after you've done your service year, which really shows that these universities are valuing the experiences their students are bringing. So I'm just really excited to be on campus and can't wait to see you.
Thank you so much for calling, Yasmin, and we will see you Thursday night to hear more of your wisdom. Thanks for calling in.
And thank you. Have a great day.
You too. So what do you guys think? I mean, do you see this as something that can be a movement? I mean, do you see this as something that can take off? Or do you think, well, we'll have some interest for a couple years and then we'll go back to thinking about just our life? I don't know. 805-781-3875. This is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. Sarah, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi. I tuned in just a little bit late, and I wanted to get some clarification on the target market, I guess, for
sure.
The event tomorrow on Thursday night. You mentioned that there could be some of the programs geared towards students in a gap year between high school and college. I have a son who's a junior in high school, and he's struggling to kind of find his focus and his passion, and this sounds like something that could really be a great opportunity for him while he decides if and where he wants to go to college. Would it be worth for us to come to the event on Thursday? Are there some programs that are targeted for 18-year-olds who are not yet at a college or university?
Yeah, I would absolutely say it's definitely appropriate for your son to come. That there's lots of programs that are for people 18 and older, and even younger. AmeriCorps actually has service programs for students who are still in high school. So definitely come check it out. And I mean, obviously, a lot of the target demographic that we're pushing for being on a college campus are college students. But these programs are many of them are for students who are younger, too.
And, you know, okay. You can find James because he's going to be representing AmeriCorps, and talk to him because we'll have the information booth. But yes, when you look at if you visit serviceyear.org, serviceyr.org, they have over 1,900 different listings of different core positions around the country. And so, you know, there is something that fits everyone's age and abilities and interests out there to do. And it can be a shorter term. Maybe he's looking for a gap year to do partial service. Maybe just introducing the service stipend position post high school. And then that leads to a longer term service post college. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think what we're talking about is trying to introduce the whole value of service and giving back and personal growth as kind of a lifelong opportunity. Because there is even senior corps for our generation to come and do our service also. So there's corps that fit every age and group. That help, Sarah?
Yes. Okay. Thank you so much. And I appreciate you guys making the effort to put this on. I hope it's very successful, and I'll see you there.
Thank you. And we hope to see you come up and say hello. And Susan, thanks for waiting. You're on the air. What's on your mind? Hi, Susan.
Must be me. I just love this talk because I've always thought the Swiss must have something going. They have a service year, and I'm not sure what it entails, but I'm a grandparent, and I really feel like, what about those, my grandkids are really little, but what about those kids who take the GED, who reading and writing, they've done it all of their lives, and they're going to go to college and do it again, but wonder if they did it this last semester of high school and they found a passion that would just kickstart them into the next phase of their lives. I just think it's a great topic, so here to support you.
Thank you, Susan. Thank you for calling in. And so, you know, Liz talked about getting introduced to service in high school, that you did a service learning trip. And Miranda, what first introduced you to service and the idea of service?
Honestly, your class in high school, I definitely resonate with the pressure that's felt to just keep going. And how James had mentioned, too, it's this expectation that you'll move on to higher education and higher and higher and higher. So that is, too, why I support introducing this to young people, because I had no idea. I'm 21 now, and this is my first real experience with service years and what it means to do service. And I'm excited to get started in a service program as well.
So how do you think it would change the trajectory for young people if you were told come high school, hey, you know, you can do some service learning trips in high school and find out where you'd like to do a longer term service, and it's part of your progression into adulthood? Do you see that? Would that have changed your experience?
Yeah, sometimes I feel as though it may feel like you're penalized for taking time off to volunteer or to work or serve your community. So in this way, participating in a service year while growing, while being paid, not only paid, but growing your personal experience, you're not penalized for doing it. And I think for young people, it is an important part of that personal growth. And it's a way to find your passion, your true passion.
So do you think that there's pushback or some resistance to it because there's fear if I stop and take a year to give back to my country, I'll miss the great job at Google or I'll miss the, you know, great opening? I mean, do you feel that there's that kind of pressure that you can't get off the conveyor belt or you'll lose your place in line? Or,
well, I have to say, I think it really depends on where you're at and depends on what your major and what you're graduating with, because you know, and your opportunity costs. Because if you look at it from the perspective of, okay, so if you're graduating, you know, as a liberal studies student and you're going to put off becoming a teacher for a year, where your starting salary is going to be a lot lower than a student who's graduating with their engineering degree, where they might be able to make, you know, $70,000 right out of undergrad. I can see why you get there's certainly this whole incentivization of, you know, well, you get some sort of education award or you get a living stipend. Your passion for it has to, I think, be a lot greater if your opportunity beyond college is something that will pay you a lot more money. And so I think that I like these programs for what they are, that offer even, you know, a small living stipend, because the idea is that it's an experience to learn what it's like to live in a state of poverty. But beyond that, though, even these education awards, they don't quite provide, I think, the full incentive to where if you have all the student debt and you're about to, you know, start taking on loan payments and you're looking at your future, if you can be making a lot more money doing a job, even if you want to do service, it economically may not make very much sense. So I think that these programs are they're great in a lot of ways, but there's still a lot of work to be done to make these, to make them more incentivized for certain types of students.
So we kind of go back to the idea of how do we make this an opportunity for everyone who's interested? And from my perspective, how do we build the value of a year of service, giving back to our country, as something that everyone feels is important? And because, you know, I think what comes up sometimes in the pushback is we hear service year, and for some people, they immediately say military service, right? They immediately think it's military service, and that we have to very quickly, when we say this idea of promoting a service year as a cultural expectation, and that means AmeriCorps, we start listing off all of the corps so that people don't immediately jump up and say, I don't want my children serving in the military. And how do we, you know, build the pride in giving back, whether it's military service or national service in a community or meeting a community need? I wonder how we shift kind of the whole cultural value system that our country is a place of value to give service to, instead of just a place where I reap the benefits of services.
Do you think that maybe just the exposure to these places in need is a start? Because, I mean, for you know, we're privileged in a lot of our own ways. You know, even being here at Cal Poly, a student, is a privilege in itself. But seeing these low socioeconomic groups and communities that need our help, I mean, maybe that's even a start to increase this value of giving back.
So maybe there is some ignorance that there is actually need in this country, that we only see it in other places.
Yeah.
And that's a great point. That brings me back to think about another person on our team, Erica, who actually did a service trip to Alabama this past spring break. And just hearing her talk about it, she said it was a heartbreaking experience, but she definitely grew a passion for service out of it, and that's why she joined our team. Unfortunately, she can't be here today, but she is so fired with energy from it, which is awesome. And I think just exposing yourself to service is the best way to just learn about why service is important, especially because I heard this one TED Talk by Elijah Miles called Our Neighborhoods, and he talks about how a lot of people in America do comfortable helping, where, you know, we find an organization or we look for an organization or philanthropy that we want to donate to, and it's like, oh, let me donate money so to help them. But a service trip or a service year is so different because you go there and you're with other people and you're there experiencing their problems. You're there understanding and trying to help them in new and innovative ways. And I think service, you have to do it because that's the only way that you'll be humbled and, you know, you're going to be motivated and have new ideas about how to change and just transform our community as a whole.
And I think about this idea of the United States and needing some way to bring together, right, a very diverse population and different value systems and different religions and different beliefs. Mm-hmm. Our country is built on all of this variety of ways of seeing the world. And this idea of a service year is some way that we can unite all of the people, all of the young people of this country, so that as a cohort, as a generation, you have this common experience that no matter where anyone is from or what their life experience was, you can go up to anyone your age and say, where did you serve? And that instantly makes you have a common experience as an American. And I think that's one of the reasons I'm passionate about the idea of the service year, is trying to unite and bring together this incredibly diverse and beautiful country. And so thank you to Miranda and Liz and James for being part of my team and also putting on this fair and giving of service. We invite the community to join us Thursday. Come by from 11 to 1 to Dexter Lawn at Cal Poly and see some of the people in the booths and learn about service years. And if you can, join us Thursday evening, Building 192, Room 106, 6:30 to 8:30 or 8 to 9. Or you can come early and hang out and eat pizza and talk to people in the service booths. We'd love to see you. As always, I appreciate my listeners being a part of our conversation. Join us at our website, thereluctanttherapist.com, or our Facebook page. You can find us on iTunes under podcasts and also listen to previous shows at kcbx.org. Thank you for supporting Public Radio, KCBX. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. We leave you with a little John Mayer and some inspiration from the millennials' point of view.